Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment. I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And recently, we had our friend Harrison on in what turned out to be somewhat of a Lakers therapy session. This might be something that we do a little more often, talking about things that is on a friend of mine's mind about the Lakers that I know they're not alone in. And so for today's subject on the LFR couch, Damon Rangula, how you doing, my man?
Good, man. Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. But, you know, we're here for you and to help you get through some things.
Yeah. Guys, I have a problem. And it's a me problem. I know it's a me problem. And when you know you have a problem and you're not getting over the problem, you go to trusted professionals. And that's what I'm here. I'm here on the couch to talk this out. Guys, I have a Luka Doncic problem. And I'm going to put all the caveats out in the front. I know that he's a top 3 to 5 player. I know that this has been one of the biggest blessings in NBA history as far as the trade. All of these things I am beyond happy about. But I'm having trouble with one aspect. I just don't like this style of basketball. I know he's great. I know that this man has made the NBA Finals. This man on any given night can be the best player in the world. I know all of this, and I am still struggling. This is a style of basketball that I'm a child of Kobe. People talk about Kobe being a ball hog and a shot chucker, but it was different. And then I rooted for LeBron, who obviously very different. And now I'm rooting for a player who is very much about controlling the entire game, going for his offense first, second, and third to set up the offense for the team. And I know it's successful, and I cannot handle it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about me. Maybe I'm an old man now, and I this is the new way to play basketball that I'm not getting behind. Please help me.
No, go ahead, Pete. Help him.
No, man, that's a big old lob for you. So the whole, like, this is his style of basketball.
Yes.
I kind of want to drill down on that in the first place, right? Like, kind of what that means and what it is about how he plays that is different than, say, Kobe. And now, mind you, it's very easy to erase all the memories of what the hell was that, Kobe? Like,
I have some...
You know, some thoughts around this idea of heliocentricity. That's the word, right?
So let me flesh this out, and you tell me where I might be wrong. I think that's a good way. So what I see is a player who, to start the game, he believes, in my eyes, that if I get going, this opposing defense is going to be so freaked out that I'm going to be able to set up my teammates for the rest of the game, and this game is a wrap. And I, by the way, the one thing I have never felt about Luka is he's selfish. I don't think that at all. I just think that this is the way that he believes you win games. And here's the difference that I see. Again, from a very high level, from a very layman, I'm no professional here. I'm just talking about how I feel about this. When Kobe had those high volume games and those shots, they came off screens, they came off curls, they came at the elbow in a way where other players were still more involved in the possession. Even if it was a formality, there was more movement in those around Kobe than I often see around Luka. And it's just visually different. The shot numbers may look the same, the point numbers may look the same. It's visually just been jarring for me to get used to this. So what am I not seeing right?
I don't think you're seeing anything incorrectly, necessarily. I'm much more of like a Magic Johnson person than I was a Kobe person, like in terms of the aesthetics of the game and like my sort of like basketball ethos.
Sure.
I think one of the things that you're talking about in the difference between Luka and Kobe is the idea of a system and system basketball helping to drive team success and team involvement. And what you're talking about in terms of Kobe is he played most of his career under Phil Jackson and in the triangle offense, where there was more of this team involvement through the use of screens and ball movement and pattern recognition, even within like where players were positioned. And the Lakers don't play that way with Luka now. It's more you are the system. And so Luka is way more of a byproduct, I would say, of like the James Harden, LeBron era of basketball, which is like, I am a system by myself. And I would branch him off of like the Harden, Steve Nash, D'Antoni, like pick and roll driven. So I'm probably closer to Damon, but there is a certain amount of optimizing what your best player is and how they are best going to compete on a night-to-night basis. I also think that it's the job of coaching to say, this is what we can do a little bit more of to skew in a certain direction so that everyone eats to a certain amount. I think JJ's points about like trusting the pass that he brought up a few games ago, I don't think that was a shot at Luka, but I also don't think it was with him not involved with this idea at all.
No, certainly. And that's really the main place I go with this, is that a superstar player is going to be a force onto themselves in terms of what they bring to the table. That I've been making this point from a GM standpoint of like, our GM can't just be like, yes, sir, right away, sir, whatever you want to anything the superstar wants from a roster standpoint. The same thing applies to the coach. And I feel like if this Lakers team in particular, with Austin and LeBron on it, and such an excess of secondary ball handling and shot creation, if it gets pushed too far toward this heliocentric idea of Luka and it's every single touch and nobody else is getting even their hands on the ball in the first place, that we have no one to blame but ourselves. You think of all of the games throughout Luka's life, even prior to the NBA, where just giving him the ball won the game. So Luka's always going to come from that, like, yeah, of course you should give me the ball. That's what is going to work. But my thought is that Redick and the team at large and the organization at large has to have a certain amount of like, yeah, that's great. You can do that. That's always going to be there. We want you to run off of this screen. We want you to get off of the ball. Let's take a break here. Come back. And I want to keep it going.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, everything. every style, every home.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So, Daman, do you think that Luka's style of play, there can be sort of a counter push from the rest of the team of like, yes, you bring this to the table, but we are not going to totally give ourselves up to this style of ball? Or do you think that he has to play in that sort of framework?
I think that's what I'm struggling with. Is this a coaching, this is the way coaches are drawing it up? Or is this Luka saying, hey, this is the way I played. This is the way to win. And I have to wonder, like, and maybe you guys know this better. It also doesn't feel like, it feels like Luka in general, his approach to this, especially after that initial burst this season, has also been a little bit less diverse in terms of even the way he used to attack a few years ago, in terms of there's not rim pressure. There's not like a variety of attack. I feel like it is, and that could be a coaching driven issue. I also wonder, and this, you know, I'm glad you brought in coaching, you and Darius brought in coaching, because I struggle with one thing about this coaching staff, and it's so, JJ is so young as a coach right now. I can just go based off what we hear in the podcast and his broadcast career and stuff like that, is, are we going to be too satisfied with regular season greatness and not force ourselves to, hey, Luka, I know that, you know, you can kill this team right now, but we're going to have the next X amount of games where we're just going to mix it up a little bit more and we're going to change your attack and we're going to, you know, I don't know if the impetus comes because it would require first for somebody to like me, like a moron like me coming up and saying, hey, I know we're playing really well, generally speaking, our record is really good. Let's change it up. Somebody needs to be able to recognize that there is a problem to fix in the first place. I don't know if that's occurring either.
To me, there needs to be a synergy between what your players are best at, what you're trying to accomplish on any given play and in any given game within the context of your opponent, what the needs of the rest of the players are, including your second and third best players, typically within like a normal NBA structure, and then like what your role players need to thrive as well, right? And one of the things that I'm interested in is that idea, Pete, of like a leopard changing its spots and how much flexibility and malleability exists within Luka's game. I think that it's more than what we give him credit for, but there's still also a rigidity in the general style of play that I think the ultimate question is whether or not that rigidity will lead him ultimately to the mountaintop or cap his ceiling at a certain level, considering what his talent level is.
Well, there's a great deal of flexibility within his game because of how skilled he is, right? There are only a couple of things that, for example, the rim pressure, I don't think ever going to be as fast as he was as the 21-year-old point guard version of himself. But I think there are other ways to get there, and there are so many different skills within his tool bag that I think he could be a lot of different things. And so it becomes an argument to me, from the coaching staff, from the organization, to implore him to lean into more of a diverse style of play. And the best way you do that, Daman, has shown him that it works. Of course he's going to have his opinions of doing the thing that has always worked for me type of thing, but if he sees examples of it working in other ways, I don't think he'd be that difficult to convince.
I also think too, though, putting him in positions and having the teammates next to him who could create opportunities for him where this diversity exists more within his offense. And so this is why I thought the Luka-Austin pairing at the start of the season and how successful they were as teammates mattered. And one of the things that I argued in the earlier pod was like the impetus is going to be on LeBron to do certain things. Like he's going to need to lean into his big man game more and set more screens and be more of an off-ball player, sort of like how he was when he first returned, but a better version of that because his legs are better and he's more like into the game flow. I also think, though, too, that from an offensive perspective, that Luka's also going to need to be off of the ball a little bit more, and that off-ball actions between LeBron and Luka could be something that the team could explore a little bit more with Austin operating at the top of the floor with the ball.
So now we get to back to the couch, and I can tell you what specifically bugs me the most. Watching Luka off-ball is the only time I actually get upset sometimes watching him play, because the other stuff I can sort of justify. A bad shot, like, listen, Pete mentioned it at the beginning. I'm a child of Kobe. I can't get mad at somebody taking bad shots, right? Like, I'm fine with that. When I watch Luka off ball, I see it as him seeing that, oh, I get a breather on this possession. And given the, first of all, he's way too young for that to be a consideration as a superstar in the NBA. But secondly, given how much attention he attracts and how much he freaks opposing defenses out, just him with any motion off ball, I think could have such a like exponential benefit to this offense just based on his presence. And maybe that is coaching, but I look at that sometimes and I'm like, I feel like if Luka wanted to go to the corner in this possession and do some, you know, move around somewhere, I feel like he could. And I don't know if it needs, somebody needs to point this out to him, but somebody like him, I just give him so much credit for his IQ. We're not even talking about defense yet, and we can. But when I just look at somebody like him, he's like next to LeBron to me as far as players in the NBA, who the level of IQ they have. I'm sure he knows this. But where do you see that? Like, who can do something about that?
These things are all intertwined to me. His off-ball motor being low, or him acting as though he has a playoff, is because he literally does have a playoff. He has the ball all of the damn time, and it's by design. The coaches are giving him the ball. Even after the trade, JJ went out of his way to basically say, like, no, Luka's the guy that's going to get the ball. I know I have LeBron James. It's going to be this dude. It's why we have him. And so the whole idea of, yeah, Luka's going to get the ball and have that on-ball motor that Pete is talking about, and Damon, that sort of attack dog mentality he has on offense, even if it's for a step back three, the constant pressure he's trying to put on a defense is insane. And it does take a lot of mental fortitude and physical activity to be like, no, I'm actually going to attack again here. And then I get the ball and I'm going to attack again now. And now, and now, and now. And so the play where LeBron brings the ball up, or Austin gets the ball, he probably does see it as a, whew, let me like get my bearings a little bit here and actually take a play off. And so to me, Pete, the motor stuff, you need to find opportunities to alleviate some of that. We're giving you the ball all of the time and make his job a little bit easier offensively at times, so he has fewer excuses to be an off-ball watcher, so he has fewer excuses to be a defensive watcher, because a guy does only have so much energy during a game, and if you're asking him to expend so much as the main offensive initiator over and over and over again, you're in some ways setting him up to be this player that Damon's describing.
Yeah, it's all tied together, Damon. That whole idea to me of reducing his offensive burden, but we also need you more on the defensive end. Like, I think it plays into your concern of, hey, is this going to work? Can we stand this style of basketball of just playing through this one guy? So just any final thoughts from you, my man? I don't expect a single therapy session to you come away like, ah, yes, I feel better, but just kind of final thoughts.
Let me lob you a grenade, you know, at the end of shot clock grenade to both of you. Kobe Bryant said that this style of basketball can't win championships. What do you think?
So when he said this style of basketball, he was talking about James Harden. Sure. I find that offensive to compare Luka Doncic to James Harden. And so I think Luka is way more skilled than Harden. I think there's a broader degree of versatility. However, that idea of just throw this guy the ball and run pick and roll over and over and over again, that cannot win as a style of basketball. I agree with that. I just don't think that Luka is condemned to just that style of play. How about you, D?
I agree with that overall sentiment. I would also say that Luka's a playoff riser in ways that Harden is not. And so baked into the Kobe discussion, I would say that that's also true. But part of what I think the Lakers need to get to in the last third of the season is more consistent organization offensively and a better dispersal of usage at times when all three of those guys are on the court together. And I think that he'll never be my Magic Johnson in this way, but if he could get closer to LeBron, which was a guy who is downhill more often, who is spraying the ball out to the open player more often, doesn't have to be all of the time. Luka's career high is 73 points. I don't want to take away that natural instinct to put his boot on your neck as a scorer. I think then, why'd you go get this guy? Then go get someone else. But I do think finding more equilibrium is good. And not every possession either, Pete, but just a little bit more of the time. Pendulum can only swing so far, and that's what I'm sort of looking for.
Damon, you're a brave man for doing this. Lucas stands. Please direct all your dissatisfaction to at Damon R on Twitter. And let's continue this conversation over the years, because I do think that it starts from a certain place where I totally see where you're coming from. And I want to continue to have these kind of talks as it progresses.
I'd love to.
Appreciate you, my man. You've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
And Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. And the Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound of Lottie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block. An NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
in Boston. Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two, one,
miss it!
Unbelievable.
For the victory. It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant. Yes! And that was a little tap to Albert Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.